Innovate Gang Podcast, episode 204. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Secret Agent Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens, Agent 000.
Uh-oh.
We lost him. And our other secret agent, Phil Wilson, minus 005.
And thank you. The negative numbers.
Appreciate that. Oh, gosh. Hey, did we lose you, Graham?
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
Oh, you just chose not to comment on Steve's intro.
Yeah, I usually do that, don't I? Well, it sure made me, you know, it gave me happy feet is what it did. And I'm not even standing up, but I...
Your toes were wiggling.
To get up and start going, you know?
Oh.
All right.
So did everybody have a good Valentine's Day?
Yeah, my bride's in Europe.
Oh, so you had a great Valentine's
Day. Yeah. Yeah, I took my son out. And we had a great time.
Yeah.
Did you get any Valentine's? Reminds me of a Rodney Dangerfield joke, but we won't go there.
Oh, is it bad?
No. Well, it's just not for public consumption.
Oh, okay. All right.
We are on, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Okay.
Indeed.
Oh. Yeah.
So I noticed that Steve has chosen to lead with the Best Buy Death Watch. So why don't we turn it over to our Crypt Keeper?
Tim no, Elliott. That's right. Tim Elliott.
Yeah. No, that was about the only news this week that was local. So I thought, what the heck?
Let's lead with it.
But it looks like that Mr. Schultz and company will not be taking the company private.
That is just a rumor.
It's a rumor. But
not a majority buyout, but yeah. He still wants stake. To do a minority
stake, yeah.
Ownership thing, supposedly. This is all kind of talk. He hasn't.
It's all conjecture, yes.
Yeah.
But he's got a couple more weeks before he has to respond.
Yep. February 28th. Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll see, but I guess you could take it to be positive or negative news for the company. Either he and his investors think that Mr. Jolie and company are doing the right things, or it's just not that attractive investment to take on all the debt.
Yeah,
which one do you think it is?
I think it's probably the more negative take on it. That the debt is just too high and there's too much uncertainty about how they can turn this thing around. So
I'll tell you that Henry Blodgett interview of that Yahoo Finance guy, Jeff Mackey, whoa, did he ever lay into him? You know, he's basically saying that both Dell and Best Buy are only attractive to their original founders. And it's like an emotional thing for them, you know? And that going private is really an indication that, you know, that they're really on a downslide, and
really?
The only people that want them are the founders.
Oh,
I mean, really, watch that interview. That guy, I mean, he just thinks they've lost it, you know.
Yep.
But you know, it's they're going for maximum. You know, page views or whatever, you know, Henry Blodgett, the king of, you know, controversial or, you know, outrageous blog posts. But this is like a video interview, the one you put in the show notes. And it is worth a look.
Well, and I'll also put a link in the show notes to something that I saw yesterday, which was that Best Buy is going to make internet price matching permanent to prevent showrooming.
Yeah, no, this is a good
idea. And,
Should have done it quite a long time ago.
It finally makes the brand promise right, because you will get the Best Buy, because they will match whatever you can bring in and show them that, you know, Amazon is doing or whoever online.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Walmart and Target have been doing this for some time, right? Right in store.
Yep.
If you can show that you can get it less somewhere else, they just match it. Boom.
Well, except though that they don't price match. I mean, they've got a finite number of retailers that they'll price match. So if it's, you know, Joe Schmedlap's camera shop in outbound Maine, they're not going to obviously price match that.
Yeah, but what are the chances Joe Schmedlap's is actually going to compete at a price level?
Well, if it's gray market, they can. No, but seriously, you don't know until you get the product.
I personally think you're besmirching the name of Joe Schmedlap. He happens to run a nice little shop out there in Maine.
Yeah. I smell a defamation suit coming.
You know, I've used that name, Joe Schmedlap, for so long. And I used to use Dwarred Farquhard, but then
wow,
it sounded too nasty.
Wasn't that Dwarred Farquhard? Isn't that a Steve Martin?
No, it's actually some guys that I knew, some older guys that I knew when I was like in my 20s. They were at Unisys, and they made up a guy named Dwarred Farquhard, and they would include him on conference calls and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, different people would play Dwarred, and they would send Dwarred office supplies. I mean, it was just something to do.
Oh god.
They were engineers and geeky, and I guess they thought it was hilarious.
Dwarred Farquhard happens to live in Naples, Florida, I want you to know.
What?
Dwarred Farquhard lives in Naples, Florida.
He must be. Are you totally serious?
Oh my god, there is a Dwarred Farquhard.
Wow. Thank goodness for Google.
Oh my god. I just Googled him.
There's also a Dwarred Farquhard on Facebook.
Oh my god, how funny. I better do that with Joe Schmedlap to make sure that there really isn't a it's gonna be Joe Schmedlap and there'll be some guy that has a can. Oh my god, Joe Schmedlap Facebook. Uh oh.
Big lover of Dwarred Farquhard.
Jeez,
Are they friends?
I better be careful of my made up fake names. Oh my god.
Best Buy will be matching those prices, however obscure the store. Yeah.
Right.
So what Tim is indicating there is we kind of went off on a tangent.
Sorry.
It took me a minute to figure out what were we talking about before we got on to that.
Yes. It's my ADD. You know, it's like squirrel.
They're going to match far and wide, huh? With damn near anybody? Is that what you're saying, Tim?
I guess so.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, yeah, no. No, I think this is
except on smartphones on contract. Yeah, they're not going to do smartphones.
You know, they really need to do it. If you listen to that Jeff Mackey interview, he's saying when a consumer walks into a retail store looking to buy something and they leave without buying it, he said, that retailer's got a real problem. You know, so it happens a lot at Best Buy, apparently.
It happens a lot everywhere, for God's sake.
Well, it does. But when they're price matching like that, you're going to avoid some of it, you know. So good luck to them.
Yeah, I thought that Jeff Mackey interview was kind of
over the top.
Yeah, well, I just wasn't necessarily impressed by Jeff Mackey, I guess. So. But well, hey, who am I to say, right?
He's a good talker. I don't really know the guy's background, but he's somebody at Yahoo Finance, right? That supposedly he's an analyst, a stock analyst.
He's probably some Yahoo at Yahoo.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
He works for Marissa.
Well, you know, speaking of Yahoo, and we didn't put this on the show notes, but for some reason I had to log into I had to change my password on my Yahoo account. The only reason I have one is because of Flickr.
I was going to say a Yahoo account.
Yeah. Well, because I use Flickr and I thought, you know, I haven't looked at Yahoo Mail for a million years. Now the downside is that even the free one has ads, and really obtrusive, horrible ones that flash in your face. But for $19 a year, you can make the ads go away and get extra storage and so on. And it's actually an attractive interface you know, it appears that Marissa Meyer is really doing some good things there.
Well, yeah. Speaking of,
yeah, but are people really going to give up free Gmail accounts to pay $19 a year for a Yahoo?
Not a chance.
Mail account?
No.
You know, she's going to have to pull something out of her sleeve better than that.
So yeah. Let me ask you guys about intrusive ads. It's Facebook is becoming, and my timeline is becoming increasingly cluttered with promoted posts and ads and that sort of a thing. And now there is talk about auto start video ads popping up in timelines.
No, are you serious? I didn't see that. Oh, geez. Yeah.
And so, you know, do you think somebody would pay the $19.95 a year to eliminate all that crap from Facebook? And is that a viable business opportunity for them? Because I know that, you know, people are leaving Facebook. And you know, I'm not saying that by any means is there any cause for alarm in Zuckerberg's house, but it doesn't seem to be as pure an experience as it used to be. Do you think there'd be interest in that sort of a thing?
I don't think people will pay for it.
I don't either.
I really don't. Certainly not anything near the masses, you know. Maybe some, Silicon Valley types might. I'm hearing there's a much more negative backlash against Facebook out in the Valley than we hear about generally. And I found that interesting.
But for what reasons, Graham?
I don't know. They're closer to it. I don't know. I didn't see what reasons were cited, but people are tiring of it. You know,
I think that there's the programmers and creators there in the Valley are probably looking at it as Facebook is really being whored out. I mean, that's one of the things that a purist will look at and say, that's all cluttered with ads. And when in actuality, it's a matter of business and trying to figure out a way to make ends meet. So.
Well, if you go back, 6 or 7 years, MySpace was sort of like that, but they were the big dog.
Yeah, good point.
And I think that Facebook has sort of run its course, and there isn't an heir apparent to replace it yet, but there probably will be at some point.
Well, we know it's not posterous, so.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But
or posterous either.
But it could be, seriously, to tie those together, it could be Twitter. Twitter may expand somehow, with the posterous folks into something that's more robust, more Facebooky. Who knows?
Yeah, well, something's coming there.
But these things tend to run in cycles. So I think that we're at the end of the Facebook cycle.
Yep.
Well, except though that, I mean, you guys know how much I ranted against Facebook, but the reason that I'm on there and the reason that I check it is that people that I haven't connected with physically for, 20 years are on there, and we're connected as friends because we were friends in college, and my cousins are on there and my nieces and nephews, and it's the network effect writ large. I mean, it works. The only thing that is interesting is it hasn't gotten to a point, to your point, Phil, about the ads. God forbid that they do auto start videos. I'll delete my account in a heartbeat. Except a first try, Facebook ads blocker in Chrome. I've been sort of dabbling with ad blockers in Chrome and Firefox.
Well, you can just run a flash blocker in it, and it just will give you an icon there, and you have to click it to actually play it. So. I run that in Chrome anyway.
But the kicker is that if it delivers you an HTML5 video, a flash blocker doesn't work.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
Yeah,
that would definitely suck. But I don't visit Facebook that often. But the thing that will replace it will probably be heavily mobile. So it'll be some sort of mobile app a connected community of interest app that runs on your phone or tablet.
Yeah.
Because Facebook seems to be genetically against or they can't figure out how to do anything mobile.
Yeah.
Right. It's part of their DNA to not get mobile.
Not get mobile.
Yeah.
Steve, you don't log on to Facebook a lot? Did you log on this morning?
I did not, but I normally have it open in my tabs.
Well, you ought to open it up today.
Well, I would, except people chat with me all the time in Facebook.
We can turn that off.
I know that, but...
Turn it off.
If I turn it off, then... No, I know.
I really think you ought to log on today.
Oh, God. Did you do something nasty?
You'll have to do it after the show. Right?
Oh, Phil.
You really have to get on.
Okay. Anyway.
So, anywho.
Oh, now you've piqued my
interest. Phil Wilson, you are just... Oh, and what made you choose Des Plaines, Illinois? Phil put up a picture on Facebook.
That's John Wayne Gacy's mugshot.
Oh, God. Yeah, so he put me on a mugshot on on Facebook.
Well, you updated your profile pic. So I wanted to...
Oh, God. What a kidder. You know what, though? You so owe me for all the crap that I've done to you.
So owe you.
So. Oh, God. Anyway.
Anywho, so, Steve, you do have one of your Tim must have just gotten to it. One of Steve's, okay, now Tim, you have the intro for this, don't you? Don't you have some sort of big voice or something that you use for this?
Well, we need to get the sweeper. So whatever sweeper you picked out, Steve, just put it in there in post.
All right.
Steve, security alert of the week.
Okay, so you know what? This is one of those security alerts that's just weird. It's an iOS 6.1 passcode hack, and it's a way that you can get in and get access to contacts and voicemails and photos and stuff like that. But A, you need the phone. And B, I mean, it's so convoluted that, a few people are going to know how to do it and remember how to do it, but I don't think it's a big issue. Now, yes, it's going to have to be closed. How many people use anything other than the 4 numeric character password? Who uses the 8? Like nobody. Right?
I guess some people could, but it would probably be some insecure number like your phone number or something. You know,
well,
to remember a passcode that long.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wouldn't be good.
No, that wouldn't be a good one.
However, you double your chances if you do it backwards. So
right. Yeah. So I didn't think it was a big issue. I mean, there's so many other things going on with Flash and Java, and I just don't think it's much of an issue, personally.
Wow, geez, I look far and wide for this security alert to put.
I know, and it is kind of an alert, but it's something that you should look at. But it'll get closed. They're going to do an update on 6.1. Apple came out and even said they were going to in the next couple weeks. So, maybe I should just sort of say one more thing about this to everybody listening.
Yes,
update your software. If you have a WordPress blog that you self-host, update the plugins, update the blog. If you run Android or iOS, Windows Mobile, update your apps, update the OS, do the same thing with your computer, because when security breaches come out, they get plugged. Maybe not instantly, but if you don't run your updates, then you're just staying vulnerable.
I gotta hop off because I gotta update my Mac.
Shut up.
Hey, but Steve, that's you said one. That the security problem is with 6.1.
Right.
I already did an update to 6.1.1. So is that fixed in that update? That was just like a day or two ago.
No, there'll be another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the latest is 6.1.1, but they'll be going to 6.1.2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The 1.1 was something about there was an issue with cell calls getting dropped and stuff.
Yeah.
In the 4S. Yeah, right. This is mainly a 4S issue. So, yep.
So, just to guys give you an update, we're getting closer to Phil's new phone.
Ooh.
So what'd you decide on, buddy boy?
Well, I'm still waiting for that M7, which is now rumored to be called the, you ready for it? HTC One. Ooh, there's an original name.
Ooh.
Really?
That's what they're saying. It may debut in the U.S. as the HTC One, which already exists. But
yeah, I thought it was going to be the One Butterfly J.
God.
Hut.
Okay, so why is
that Butterfly J?
And why is this so impressive for you? Why
for me, it's just a nice phone. I think
made by HTC.
They're built like tanks. It's a little too big for me, but that's okay. It's got a nice quad core processor. It's going to be full HD and high res, and 13 megapixel camera, et cetera, et cetera. That's all rumors and hearsay and innuendo.
Right.
But supposedly they're going to roll it out at the Mobile World Congress on Tuesday, and then it's supposed to be in the U.S. by, what was it, Tim? The 22nd of March?
Something like that. Yeah. It looks good. The Galaxy S4 is going to get all the play in the media.
Yeah, but I think the S4 just feels so flimsy to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, flimsy. They're not introducing that at Mobile World Congress, though, right?
No, they're doing their own thing. Right. Well, one interesting one is they're doing a smaller version of the Galaxy S4, like they did the Galaxy S3 Mini, the same idea.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be like a 4.3-inch.
Well, and HTC is saying they're doing the same thing with the M7. They're rolling out the M4. Supposedly, this is all rumor, that they're rolling out an M4, which is impressive, but not quite the specs of the M7 and as a 4.3 screen.
So will this HTC phone be a subsidized phone with your carrier of choice, Sprint?
I believe so, yes. The rumor is that they'll have two versions, a 16 and a 32 gig version. 16 will be $199, 32 will be $299.
So you have an upgrade privilege coming.
That's right, my friend. There you go. And I actually think I'm just going to return it to stock too. Just carry it with the stock ROM and not root it, just because I want to.
Well, it's running. I think it's going to be running Jelly Bean, so you won't have to go to any.
Yeah, but to get rid of the Sprint bloatware, you really have to root. So, also, HP is going to adopt Android for all its upcoming mobile devices, which
that's huge.
It is.
What does that mean for our buddies at Microsoft?
Well, it means that they've lost one big OEM for sure. Mm-hmm. The whole thing with webOS just seems so sad. You know, HP had that, and they could really develop that into something special. I know it's too late now, but when Meg Whitman first came back, she could have resurrected the the webOS folks, and maybe by now they would have something interesting. Who knows? But just becoming another Android OEM is not going to be, you know, the savior of HP. But,
no way.
Yeah. No, but it's cheaper.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least they'll be in the game and they can make modifications to it and put bloatware on it with all their carriers.
Once again, you know, proving that, yes, we can cut our way to prosperity.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
and then Tim also pointed to this article on No Plan B for Microsoft's Mobile Ambitions. The CFO did an interview where they asked him, you know, what happens if
this doesn't work,
strategy doesn't work. What's plan B? And what did he say? Plan B was make strategy plan A work. Something like that.
Yeah, it was like you have to execute on plan A. Yeah. Okay.
Go back and try plan A again.
Yeah.
Brilliant strategist over there.
I think they ought to do implants. Just do Microsoft implants, you know, eye implants under the skin, this and that. Yeah.
Tim, have you had a chance to play with the Surface Pro yet?
Not with the Pro, but with the RT one, I have. And it's very imperfect. It's a first generation device, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I, from what I've seen online about the Pro, it seems like the Pro is better, although the battery life is not so good.
Is crappy. Yeah, that's.
But this idea of merging a tablet and a laptop together into one device is an interesting idea, which I think is ahead of the market, but it's clearly where Apple is headed. So it's interesting to see how, you know, if Microsoft can develop this, you know, they certainly have the money to continue to pour into this for a long time. So at some point they're going to have, I think, a fairly compelling device, especially for the enterprise.
Have you guys seen a Surface in the wild?
Nope. You mean one not in the Microsoft store?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Well, I haven't either. And I was in the Skyway system this past week, and I ended up having coffee in the morning and having lunch and walking the Skyway.
And you saw a Surface tablet sitting in the corner with a cup asking for donations.
No, but people were, I mean, all over the place with tablets and their phones and laptops and so forth. And there were no Surfaces. I didn't see anybody with a Surface. And I probably saw easily 50 people with tablets.
Well, you'll know if they've got a Surface because they're usually dancing. From what I can tell from the
from the ads. Yeah,
they're using it. They're using it on a table with the keyboard.
Yeah, probably.
That's the way that apparently is the best way to use it. Cause as a tablet itself, the size is weird. So it's kind of hard to use in tablet mode.
Okay.
But using it as a laptop replacement is apparently fairly good. So,
huh. Okay.
You know.
Didn't I read where they're really in short supply, though? I mean, isn't there
did you read that, you know, how many they shipped each store? I mean,
no.
You can, some stores only got two of them. So yeah. Selling through two is not such a hard deal, you know?
Right.
Even the stores like Best Buy, there was a Best Buy that got 20 or something like that. So, I mean, we're not talking huge numbers.
Huh.
Wow.
And it's costing people, what, $9.99? Is that the low level or the lowest price?
On the Pro? I think it's $8.99 for the 64 and $9.99 for the 128. And the 128 meg version or gig version is the one that's selling through very quickly.
Yeah,
because once you get the operating system on there, there isn't a lot.
There's not a lot of space. Yeah,
space left. So if you really want to get one of these things, get the big one.
Always go big or go home. That's what I say.
Yeah.
The new Gartner study out showing that mobile phone sales have declined worldwide.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I guess that was only a matter of time, and I think the last spurt of mobile devices was really driven by smartphones, right?
Yeah.
So
is that smartphones?
Now it's a replacement market, I guess, huh?
Yes, right.
Yeah, but if you remember that Mary Meeker internet presentation on mobile phones last year, or on the internet, and mobile phones was part of it, is that smartphone phone penetration is, you know, worldwide is in the 30s as a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a long way to go before there's saturation.
But I think that you're not replacing devices as often.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start getting into smartphones.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. I mean, what do you really, at the end of the day, what do you really need?
Right.
I'm surprised that I'm okay with having a 4S because I couldn't do the upgrade on the 5 because I was still 6 months out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably do a next version if there's a 5S. You know, I don't need to replace this stuff like I was every 6 months right. or
mm-hmm. yeah.
every I'm 12 months.
Well, they last for a long time. And, you know, I don't think that the 4S to 5 is super compelling. I mean, do you really need a slightly longer screen?
No, I would like to have another row of icons and I would like to have LTE, but those are really the only reasons to have it. Now, if there's a 5S and it's got a great camera in it or it's got some other feature that I know I'll use all the time, then absolutely. So.
Oh, yeah. I think there's no doubt that both of us will be updating to 5Ss when they come out because I come up in May. When do you come up for a
same
upgrade?
Time. Same time. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Say, can I ask you guys about
coincidence? I don't know.
Conspiracy.
We were both there.
I have to ask you guys a question. Have you looked at, and I'm asking this question because of four Macs in the house, and I run Parallels, so I run Windows. And so the 5 version of Microsoft Office is $99 a year as a subscription. And then there's Microsoft Office 365, which, you know, is per user per month kind of thing. And it's web-based Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, which I don't think I'd ever do. But have you guys looked at these options, and is anything interesting to you?
Haven't looked yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that interesting. I mean, I have a copy of Microsoft Office just because people send me those documents a lot. And so I need it for compatibility, but I don't use it. If I'm going to do some word processing, I'll open Pages up.
You know? Well, yeah, see, the issue I've got is with clients, you know, who are sending me spreadsheets with pivot tables in it, and I've got to fire up Parallels to run it in Excel on Windows and stuff like that. And so if it wasn't for those damn clients doing that, I'd be okay.
I still default to Word, even, you know, and I've got, you know, Word, Microsoft Office on my Mac.
Okay, all right.
So I still default to Word. I don't know. Pages is, I think if I'm doing some graphic stuff, I'll go to Pages simply because it seems to be a little more friendly. It's more intuitive on Pages when you're doing some graphic design, but
yeah,
in my word processing.
Well, when do you think Microsoft will come out with an iOS app for Office that, you know, I read the other day that they're missing out on about a $2.5 billion opportunity.
Yeah,
they're busy with Surface. They got no time for that crap.
Well, but
they're still working Plan A.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder about competition. Yeah, they're Plan A. Right. Well, say, speaking of some other mobile stuff, I was stunned about this ex-BlackBerry co-CEO, Jim Basile, dumping his entire stake in RIM.
A vote of confidence there, eh?
Oh, my God.
He wants to buy some Apple.
Oh, jeez.
He should have done
a bargain now.
He should have done a Steve Jobs. You know, when Jobs got kicked out of Apple in the 80s, he sold all of his stake except for one share so he could continue to get the annual report.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah,
I never saw that.
He did that because he had no confidence in the company, but he wanted to still, you know, read about what was going on. So he took his, you know, very substantial stake in the company and took it down to one share.
Wow.
That's in the book. Come on, read that book. It's good.
Yep. Which book?
It's a thick sucker.
Isaacson, Steve Jobs biography.
I didn't pay any attention to that part.
That was his screw you deal. But anyway, getting back to Basile. Yeah, no, he obviously doesn't have much confidence in what's going on.
Right.
Or he needs to diversify his portfolio, one of the two, and it doesn't include BlackBerry.
So when you guys see the word co-CEO, does that send up any red flags to you? It always sends up a red flag when I see co anything, because I think, somebody can't decide who's in charge.
Well, the only company that does that successfully is Oracle. They've got two presidents, and they've had two presidents for a long time.
Yeah, right, but not two CEOs.
Right. That's true, because Larry, no one can compete with Ellison.
Right. Co-CEO is a very rare thing. I can't even think of another instance where that is going on in corporate America today in any significant size firm.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's a Canadian firm, baby.
Yep.
They do things weird up there in the Great White North.
There you go, then, eh?
Well, they only have one CEO now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he ain't feeling all that great.
No.
That new name will work. Don't worry.
Let's talk about Posterous shutting down on April 30th.
Posterous, you mean?
Posterous.
Stop.
I kind of with Graham. I think it should be Posterous.
Well, of course.
I always thought so, too.
Yeah, that controversy is coming to an end, though, because as of April 30th, it won't matter anymore. Yeah, right.
Right.
It'll be gone.
Yep. Well, there's.
I wonder how Julio feels.
He's got to be depressed.
Yeah. Really. Well, you know.
Is he going to go to Tumblr full time now? Because I think his main site is on Posterous now.
I think it is.
Well, if he did what I did, I just clicked on that comment in the next web story and tried out that move to Tumblr.com, and click click click. I did it. Paid my $12 and. We'll see how it turns out, but I figured I'd better do it now, or because if I forget to do it by April 30th, it'll just be gone. Poof.
Be sure to put that link in the show notes so we can.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, he's already moved to Tumblr. I've just looked up the site.
Oh, Julio has?
Julio, yeah, he's on Tumblr. Maybe he did this a while ago and I just didn't notice it.
Well, didn't he?
He's a fan that's bailing.
didn't he have a Tumblr account before, though?
He did. He was going on both of them, but I think his main oheyzap.com site was on Posterous.
Okay, but he maybe created a new Tumblr blog then for his Posterous.
Well, I think what he did is he moves his Posterous blog to Tumblr, is what it appears.
Yeah, okay, but you can obviously create multiple blogs on Tumblr, which is what I probably should have done. Because I had a Tumblr blog that was basically full of mostly Instagram photos.
Yeah, no, you can create as many blogs as you want on your account.
Tumblr. Well, I went ahead and just merged the two together. But I don't, at least that's what I think happened.
Well, so here's what's interesting. Gary Tan and Brett Gibson, the two Posterous co-founders. See what you're doing to me, you guys. Anyway.
It is Posterous.
Oh, yeah, it is posthumous. Well, anyway, they started something called Post Haven. I'll put a link in the show notes.
You mean Post Haven?
Post Haven.
Come on now.
And it says websites come and go. This one's made to last forever. Simple, easy blogs for $5 a month forever.
Yeah, well, that's like money right in Gary Tan's pocket. Like he needs more money. You know, I mean, screw that.
Right, right.
He's a VC now, by the way. You know, he didn't go to Twitter, right? I swear he's a VC.
Huh.
I'm trying to think of who he's with.
Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of something.
Or wait, he tied up with Y Combinator, didn't he? Yeah.
I just thought of something.
What?
I'm a VC.
Oh.
Because I invested in Pebble.
Jeez.
You are. Well, oh, did it come to the mail? And smart things? I'm a VC. I'm going to have cards printed up. Yeah.
You're a pre-ordering consumer. I'm not getting any equity, dude.
I'm a Kickstarter wonk.
So has that Pebble watch showed up yet?
No, of course not.
Oh. Well, we're going to have a party when it does.
Well, didn't they send you an email this week saying that it was coming?
Oh, yeah, sure they did.
Yeah, I think it was that artwork that Steve did that really, they saw it and they said, okay, well, we got to get Phil.
That propagated through the web and they thought, oh, crap, we better answer this guy's email.
Yeah. All right, sure. So here's what it said. And this was, you know, remember last week I sent them an email, sort of a snarky email, and I got, you know, within a day, I got an email saying, good news, your Pebble is almost ready to ship. Hmm. Okay, so please double check your shipping address in the Pebble account system. So this is like, why do I need to double check my address? I know what the address is, you know? So it's, you know, you have 48 hours to make any last minute changes. So they bought another 2 days. So I go to my order summary now. And why, by gosh, they're processing the shipment, which they've been doing now for 4 days. So
I wouldn't believe it until they give you a tracking.
Yeah,
number.
No kidding.
End of summer. I'm telling you, I bet you it's end of summer.
This thing is a small outfit. You know, I mean, I was just reading where what their modest goal was on Kickstarter. And I mean, all of a sudden they were just beset with this $10 million and they're still not a very big outfit. I mean, they must have their manufacturing set up over in China or something, and they must be gearing up, but that's a hell of a situation to get into, to get, you know, buried in that much money and all of a sudden having to produce that many watches for that many people. It's a scary proposition. By the way, did you read the VentureBeat post that they now know why Apple's leaking iWatch rumors? Because Samsung's releasing one?
Yeah, geez.
There's word that Samsung, and they don't want Samsung to be out there first, supposedly, but then why would Apple care if somebody else is first? You know, Apple wasn't first in a lot of things, so I don't know if I buy that story, but.
Wow.
But the claim is that Apple has actually been leaking this iWatch stuff out selectively to major media, not Chinese blogs. You know, I mean, when the New York Times and Bloomberg and somebody else and Wall Street Journal are writing about iWatch rumors, you know, you do have to wonder. You know, this article is implying that they're selectively doing these leaks just to counter what could be coming from their arch rival, Samsung.
There you go.
Wow. I'll put that link in.
Has anybody followed this Tesla story?
Yes, yeah. I've been following it. Well, especially because Scott Lidman from Magna 360 and the Minnesota Cup, Scott's getting a Tesla S.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he posted it on Facebook.
I know a guy that's got one.
Really?
In fact, I've seen it, been in it. I didn't ride in it. But then my friend who helped this guy acquire it, he actually wrecked it.
Oh, no.
He rear-ended somebody in the thing. I don't know if his foot stuck on the accelerator or what, but I've seen one up close. Of course, it's like probably a year or two old model.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Scott's actually getting the new one, huh?
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to come in the next few months. So
it comes with the Pebble watch.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so everybody
which is also coal powered.
Yeah, for those people that don't know the controversy, a New York Times auto writer tested the car. He was told how to test it and so forth by the Tesla folks, and he drove it from one supercharging station to another, and which was 200 miles away, and it's got a 265 mile range. And claimed that he had to basically limp his way there so he could just barely make it. And Elon Musk came out with a scathing counter post about basically how that was just bullshit. And he had the logs and was going to be coming out with a complete rebuttal. And it's just, it's been going back and forth. Now there's a whole Tesla club out in the Northeast that they're going to make the run together, I guess today, on Saturday the 16th. And they're going to make the run together and follow the exact path and see what happens. And so it's just, yeah, just amazing.
That Elon Musk is a hothead, I'll tell you. He's got quite the reputation. Apparently he doesn't take any BS, you know. I remember, you know, Owen Thomas, who used to write for Gawker, and he was with VentureBeat for a while, and now he's with Business Insider.
Yeah,
I remember he tangled with Elon Musk in Silicon Valley and started calling him out for BS. And that turned into a pissing match like you wouldn't believe. This was like a year or more ago, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So, you know, apparently you don't mess with Elon, you know, not even the New York Times messes with Elon. But, you know, you read the account of the New York Times writer, and I didn't read the original story, but I've kind of read about it since then. It sounds like the guy, you know, did everything. He was just going by what he was told and
what he was coached to do.
And,
yeah.
Well, and the readouts on the machine. I mean, you know, he wasn't, you can't imagine the guy was trying to slant the story or do anything underhanded.
But here's the thing. 265 mile range on an electric car is pretty amazing. That's number one. Number two, anybody that's going to spend $108,000 for a rechargeable car, because I think that's what the fancy ones are. What do they start at? Do you guys know, like $60,000 or something?
Oh, at least
for an S.
Yeah,
but anybody that's going to spend that kind of money is probably going to be a geek. Is probably going to be pretty savvy, and they're buying it not because they have range anxiety. They're buying it because it's cool and it's a piece of tech. And this guy's point with the New York Times, if you read between the lines, was the fact that this thing isn't going to cut it for Joe Sixpack. Well, Joe Sixpack's going to go buy a hybrid so that they can put gas in it and drive to grandma's house, you know, 500 miles away. They're not going to buy an electric car because you're not going to make it. And then that can stop for an hour and charge it up. So just so they can make it down there and then try to find another charging station to charge it up. And so in a way, it's kind of like one of these things where, you know, the guy's taking it on face value as though he was driving a Ford Taurus. And anyway, that's just sort of my take on it.
And what you're saying, Steve, is the exact thing that Henry Blodgett is saying in his story about how, you know, they're basically curiosities and toys for the rich.
Yeah, but see, that's not true. Maybe the first generation is, yeah, but I mean, yeah. This is the thing. I mean,
yeah, but that's what
you know, to say things like, you know, well, I mean, the headline from our little link in the show notes is, you know, all electric cars are basically dead on arrival. Well, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
come on. I mean,
that's link bait.
This is all new technology. It's got to start somewhere. That's the same sort of crap that killed EV the first time around, because it was all the oil companies and car companies needed to hear was, oh, well, it's not perfect yet. Well, of course it's not perfect yet, but would you want to go back and drive the first cars? No.
Yeah. Where you got to get out and crank it up by hand.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but the only people that can afford them are the super rich,
right?
You know? And
now,
it's their third or fourth or fifth or sixth car. Sure, it's a freaking toy.
It's right now.
But the
Tesla is designed to be a luxury electric car. It's not the Prius plug-in. This is a supposed to be a top flight sports car for the rich.
Yeah, well, and then there's the Chevy Volt. They tried to build them and sell them for 40 grand, and they, the last I read, they pretty well shut it down, haven't they?
Oh, no, no.
No, not at all.
No, no, they're actually selling quite well. But you have a federal, you know, you get tax credit of what, $7,500 for the car. And so, you know, is somebody going to go out and write a check for it? Well, the kicker is I personally would only lease right now because, things are going to change dramatically with batteries over the next 3 to 5 years. And if I buy one and it's got range of 90 miles and now 3 years from now, somebody makes a breakthrough in battery technology and, you know, it's 390 miles, you know, how much is that car going to be worth? Mm-hmm. So, but I, you know, I would buy, I'd buy a good hybrid, plug-in hybrid right now. Because I'm looking.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Steve's in the market.
All Toyota dealers, please contact Steve via Minivate.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, let's just do a quick round robin and talk about one cool tech thing that struck you this past week. And it can be anything in the world of technology. Any ahas, Tim?
The asteroids, which one of which impacted in Russia, and the other one just narrowly missed hitting the Earth. Yes. I thought that was interesting. And what was most interesting about the big one that you know went through the atmosphere but then continued on its way is that that was discovered by amateur astronomers a couple of years ago. And had that thing hit the Earth, it would be devastating.
Yeah.
I believe it would be considered regionally devastating. I don't know if it would be devastating to the
No, it would. It would.
It would
been,
take it, out a city the size of London.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah. It's like
or
one,
make a hell of a splash. One of
the. Well, it's like the one that hit Russia early in the 20th century that completely, you know, like decimated an entire region. But luckily, that wasn't heavily populated.
Well, and apparently the one that exploded over Russia, and I'll put a link in the show notes to a bunch of videos. And
yeah, those videos were crazy. Didn't
crazy,
they?
Yeah.
It looks like it's a movie. I mean, it doesn't look like, oh, some guy with his iPhone has taken this video.
Well, that's because of all the cameras, the dash cams in Russia. And
why are there so many dash cams?
Well, because there's the laws there are pretty bad with respect to... you know, if you've got an accident, if you're in an accident about disputes and so forth. So everybody's got a dash cam so that they can tell their side of the story.
And catch meteors coming to Earth.
Well, yeah. That's the side benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a perk.
Yep.
Graham, what struck you this week?
Yeah, Graham.
Tech-wise.
Well, I'm kind of torn between John Seely Brown joining Pinterest and some conjecture that Apple may be working on the iBank.
What? I didn't see that.
You know, that they filed a patent, and of course they file all kinds of patents, but on a human ATM network. But when you think about the access that Apple has to via iTunes, to how many millions and millions of hundreds of millions of credit card accounts. So there's talk that they could be headed that way. And I know we've heard that kind of talk before, but interesting in the conjecture of what will Apple do next, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we've all heard the ITV till we're blue in the face and the, well, there, you know, the iWatch and...
There's also the one that you know, Steve Jobs wants to, was one of his last things was he'd like to buy a car or build a car.
Build a car, yeah.
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 Yeah. Apparently that was that was written about, was that in the book, the bio?
No, the not in the bio. It's in the story of Apple, I think.
But Phil Schiller apparently talked about that last August. So, you know, that's just talk and you know, well, it's all talk. Let's face it. They don't let anything out of the bag except maybe leaks about an iWatch. I don't know. I still wonder, is Tim Cook, you know, is he really clamped down on the, doubling down on the privacy, you know, secretive thing that supposedly he said he was doing?
Well, I think that that would be, I guess I would like to see a little more secrecy out of Apple, because I'm really tired of hearing about, you know, cars and watches and TVs and banks.
And now I bank, yes.
Well, but these are a lot of other people that are doing it, so
that's
the other part.
Possibly.
Yeah. So what about you, Phil?
You know, I've been pretty locked on to what's going on at Mobile World Congress, so just to see what, you know, what's going to come out of there. And, you know, obviously I'm acutely interested in the HTC from a personal and professional level, but, you know, that's probably the big thing. See what's going to come out of, that event and those events around it.
Yeah.
So that's probably about, that's the big thing that, that has piqued my interest. That, and of course the Meteor.
And the Meteor. The meteor like, was awesome.
It's like it came between the space station and satellites. It's like, holy crap.
That's the big one. Yeah. Well, then the one that went over Russia, they said the blow up was equivalent to 20 nukes. Pretty amazing.
You know, it's just, you know, it really starts to make you think about, you know, really is that 401k worth my time?
Right. Oh, geez.
I'd hate to be blown off the face of the earth and still have that kind of money sitting around for.
Yeah, but as long as we got Bruce Willis, we're fine.
That's true. We're
gonna get him to go up there and blow it up.
Well, he blew up, though, so he's no longer with us. Oh, wait a minute. That's he's doing that Die Hard movie.
He's
now.
Doing that Die Hard movie,
It's a good day to die hard,
Well, for me.
Which I'm going to go see, but.
Okay. Well, for me, the one tech thing that struck me this week was I'm involved in helping a client with a site that they've licensed, or a technology, a platform built on Drupal. My God.
Just say no.
It
just
is so incredibly complex. And the dependencies on stuff. If you just want to put a image slider on the homepage.
Good luck with that.
There's like 19 things you have to do to configure it. It's just unbelievable. But the flip side of that is I have a client project that I'm working with two other guys, and we're virtual on the project. And so I put together, I've got for our Innovate Trends business unit, I've got a multi-site implementation. And so we can create client sites where we can post stuff. And I built a little collaboration site, and I didn't even know you could do this until I started poking around, but we were going to share Google Docs. And you can embed editable Google Docs in an iframe, and the whole document is there. And so I put that together, and then I used BB Press inside WordPress for general discussions, and it's really come a long way, and it works great. And then the third thing is there's a plugin where you can basically lock down the whole site and put this thing together in, I don't know, 2.5-3 hours. And it's unbelievable that of some of the things that are available now to go off and build these sorts of things. And, it, you know, is it super secure? And, you know, would we put nuclear codes there? No. But
you can do all that stuff, Steve, but you still can't help me figure out how to make tables responsive. You're pissing me off, man.
Use percentages. No. I know. It's tough.
Anyway,
so events, went wild here and put stuff in the show notes for new events.
It was me. It's February 20th is like event day. Holy crap.
Wow.
Wednesday, I'm in three, and they like butt up and overlap a little bit. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but the Google Entrepreneurs Day at COCO is shaping up to be a big deal. I don't know what's going on, but COCO's got some news announcement that's going to be birthed that day, which I will be let in on soon here, but it's all embargoed till that day. Some big shots from Google are coming. I mean, not Eric Schmidt or Larry Page or anything like that, but nor Sergey, but a couple
so
of...
So who does that leave?
Well, there are other big shots from Google Ventures, which, by the way, was just declared in a study, is the third most active VC firm right now. So Google Ventures is a big frickin' deal. And they aren't, as most people think, just investing in companies that they want to acquire. So they're not just doing strategic investments. They are doing investments for returns, just like VCs do. And they really don't acquire all that many of their investments traditionally. Anyway, I've heard that one or two of the Google folks that are going to speak, it's kind of like an all-day workshop, like from 10 to 4, but two of them are affiliated with Google Ventures. So I'm going to be there and try to grab an interview with one of them. And then the rest of the workshops, they've got stuff on, like, I don't know, Google Apps and AdWords. I mean, part of it is a commercial for Google, let's face it.
Yeah.
But the mayor's going to be there welcoming them, you know, first thing in the morning. And like I say, Coco's making some announcement. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's only available for members because they only have so much space there. So it isn't like just anybody can sign up to attend it now. And you said that a couple podcasts ago, Phil. I think that it was sold out a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it's sold out, yeah.
Yeah, but members, of course, can be there. They aren't going to shut members out. So that's all day till 4 or so, 4 or 5. And then Tap the Cash, the Minnesota Angel Network event, is going on fairly close by the Fulton Brewery. And right on the heels of that or overlapping that is a very interesting MEMA event, The Future of Blogging. An exec from Tumblr, which we just spoke about, is going to talk about what's coming from them, I guess. And that goes till, I don't know, 8 o'clock at night. So it's going to be a big day on the 20th.
Huh.
And I'll be there.
With bells on.
I'll be there representing.
And then the Startup Showcase evening, who put that in?
I did. That's the following night.
Is that an education?
Pardon me?
Is that an education event? What's the TIE Minnesota?
TIE is an international organization to foster entrepreneurship. It's huge in Silicon Valley, but the Minnesota chapter has existed for some years. And I think there are probably a couple hundred members here locally. It's a lot about mentorship, you know, successful tech entrepreneurs and founders who are interested in helping out, you know, newer startups. So they do these startup showcase things from time to time. I'm not sure how many startups are going to be there pitching, but it might be like a table setup where they have, you know, where they do a little exhibit or talk to people about what they're doing. I'm not really sure, but my suspicion is they'll have at least 10 or 20 startups there. And it's just an evening of wine and cheese and talking to these startups that are going to be there. So goes on at Metro Point, which I think is near 394 and 169.
Yeah, that's exactly where it is. Yep.
Yep. I am a TIE member now officially. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So there's a few other events, but we're running out of time. We got Mobile March coming up again. We got to keep talking about that because next week, who do we have on, Phil?
Well, Justin's going to join us.
Justin Grammons.
Justin Grammons, who's co-founder of Mobile March. Maybe some other guests. You never know.
Never know.
And we'll talk a little bit about the agenda and what's coming up. So get your tickets now.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we're going to be at that with bells on at the Earl Brown Heritage Center.
Yep. I love seeing you in your bells, Graham.
Oh, yeah, for sure. On my All toes. Right.
Well, good.
And mini bars set for the 6th of April at Best Buy.
Best Buy HQ. Yep.
So, yeah, busy couple of weeks coming up, few months coming up, and we'll see you next week on
the Minovate Gang podcast.
It was a good one.
Thanks.
See you later, guys.